Going to read the Bible now.
This morning we are reading from Hosea chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. If you're using one of the church Bibles, you'll find that on page 1297. Let's read together Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt? And will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities. It will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even though they call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboiim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt trembling like sparrows, from Assyria fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord.
Thanks very much, Kim. Welcome to church again this morning. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before. I'm feeling a little bit sorry for Rowan, actually, a little bit picked on in the, the kids' spot there. But apparently he gets his own back in the coming weeks, I've been told, from Sarah. So hold tight for that. That's a bit exciting, I think. Now, just a couple of things to let you know about. Next week, I'll be away at the Next Gen Retreat at New Life Pastures, and so will a number of other leaders as well. But Jason will be back at 8:30 preaching. He'll be preaching from Luke 16, I think, verses 1 to 9. Have a read during the week. It's a really tricky passage. We talked about it session on Thursday night. I still don't understand it. So maybe on coming Sunday, you will understand it, and you can tell me what it's all about. I'll look forward to that. The following Sunday, which I think, off the top of my head, is the 26th of May. I think that's right. There might be someone with a calendar in front of them who can nod at me. But anyway, I think it's the 26th of May. And on that Sunday, we're going to do bacon and eggs after the service. So make sure you come along for that. And we'll also be baptizing Xander after the service as well. So I thought I saw Xander somewhere before. There he is, at the back. Yeah. So he'll be getting baptized after the service. So we'll do the service and then we'll go out onto the grass and we'll get baptized in an inflatable pool. I'll have to push him down pretty far to make sure he's fully under. So practice holding your breath, Xander. And then after that, we'll have the bacon and eggs, and we might even have a fire out the back. I know that's pretty reckless. It will be safe, though. But just for those who are wet like Xander and myself, we might actually want to sit around the fire. You might want to sit around the fire as well. Anyway, we do it in a safe way, so don't worry about that aspect of it. Okay, now moving on. Today is our fourth talk in the book of Hosea. And today, the way that God describes his relationship with his people, it changes. It changes from Israel being like an unfaithful wife with many lovers and God being like a loving husband to Israel being like a disobedient son and God being like a loving father, but an amazing loving father. Well, let's pray before we get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Please help us to understand it. Please help us to see how amazing you are. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during the week, I took the service at St. Vincent's. That's the aged care facility in Douglas near the mountain bike tracks. It's the one that the Presbyterian Church of Queensland used to own. If you look very closely at the picture, you might see something of that. Anyway, we're not going there this morning. Whenever I go to the aged care facility, it's my goal to always try and be as clear as I can be on the gospel. Jason once said in a staff team meeting that as people get older, they lose their confidence that they really are right with God. And so whenever I go to St. Vincent's, I really want to be really clear on the gospel to give those older folk confidence that if they do trust in Jesus, they are right with God. And there's always some non-Christians who come along to the service as well. This week when I went out, I asked a pretty confronting question. I asked, how could any of the residents be confident to stand before Jesus when they die or when they pass away or when the Lord Jesus returns to judge? It's a pretty full-on question, I know. Then I talked about some of the dumb things that I've done in my life. And many of you will already know lots of them. You could probably give me some more. I'm not going to list them right now, but it's quite a long list, right? But if you're being honest, you too have a long list of dumb things that you've done in your life. See, all of us have rejected God and not lived his way. So how can any of us be confident that God won't judge us and send us to hell? Because ultimately, that's what all of us deserve. Well, today, as we continue in the book of Hosea, we get to see that Israel is like a disobedient son and God is like a loving father, and it will give us a chance to reflect on what we're like. We are like disobedient children. But it'll also give us a chance to reflect on what our Heavenly Father is like. And he's different to us. And the way he's different, that should give us great confidence for the future. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Hosea chapter 11. The first thing we're going to see this morning is that Israel are like a disobedient son. Let's pick up from verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Here, God is referring to Israel as a child, as a son he loved. And he called them out of Egypt. Remember, he rescued them out of slavery in Egypt. And they weren't rescued because they were somehow special or something like that. It was just because God wanted them to be his people. He wanted them to be his special people. But Israel didn't respond to God very well. Let's pick it up from verse 2. But the more they were called, the more they went away. They sacrificed to the Baals and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. This is a sad picture, isn't it? You have God calling out to his son Israel. He keeps calling out. But the more he called, the more the people worshipped other things. They worshipped the Baals. They worshipped the gods of the people that were kind of meant to drive out of the land. And God was really patient through all of this. He tried to help them walk. He kind of picked them up by the hands and tried to kind of bring them along. He tried to help them to be his people. He gently guided them with kindness and love. God was like an amazing, loving father to his children, to his son Israel, but they wouldn't live his way. They kept walking away. And so judgment is going to come on them. Let's pick it up from verse 5. Will they not return to Egypt? And will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities. It will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even though they call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. God's people, they refuse to turn to their loving Father. And so they will have to receive their medicine. Now, they won't actually physically go back to Egypt, not the northern kingdom anyway, But they will go back to a place like Egypt. They will go back to slavery. Assyria will rule over them because they will not repent. They will not turn back to God. It's sad, isn't it? God's people were rescued out of slavery to be a special chosen people, but now they're returning to slavery because they refuse to live for God. In verse 6, it says they'll see the flash of metal, the flash of swords in their cities, as God uses the Assyrians to take his people back to slavery. And in verse 7, even though the people claim to know God, they don't really. In fact, they are determined to turn from him. God had rescued this group of people to be his special people, his son. He loved and cared for them, gently loved and cared for them. But they've been disobedient. And so they are going to have to take their medicine. Judgment is coming their way. Now, being a parent is really hard. And there doesn't really seem to be a magical formula to raise your children to be followers of Jesus. If someone says there's a magical formula, do not believe them. Now, you might read the Bible to your children every day and try and live a godly life in front of them. And I strongly encourage you to do that. And I strongly encourage you to encourage me to do that. But that doesn't guarantee us of anything, unfortunately. You could be the best parent in the world, but your children, your child, might still choose to rebel. I know a husband and wife from down south. They were beautiful, gospel-loving people. They were Ford people, not Holden people, though, but anyway. But they had, I think, 3 sons, but all of their sons chose to rebel and to walk away from the Lord. I do know that one of them actually has come back to the Lord, and that's a beautiful thing. But they were great parents, and their children chose to rebel. Well, God has been like a perfect, loving father to his children, Israel. But you know what? They still choose to reject him. Now, whenever we look at God's Old Testament people, even when we can see how silly and sinful they are, we always need to be super careful not to start bad-mouthing them. Because you know what? We are also silly and sinful, just like Israel. All of us have been like a disobedient son or daughter to God. We've all rejected his loving way, his loving arms. And some of us have come out of that. Some of us have put our trust in the Lord Jesus, God's only perfect son. But some of us here this morning might still be behaving like a disobedient child. We might still be rejecting our King and our Creator. And I urge you, if that's you, to think about the consequences of that. If you continue down that path, you will face God's judgment. But if you return to the Lord, to God, he is waiting for you with his arms wide open. Israel are like a disobedient son, but God is a loving father like no other. Let's pick up again from verse 8. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Adamah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All of my compassion is aroused. In this verse, we get to see that God is conflicted. He knows he needs to punish his people, but he loves them, and so he's conflicted. He told Israel that if they continue to reject him, he would punish them. In fact, even before they went into the promised land, he said, if you reject me, you will be punished. This is what it says towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy. It says this, Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. We'll start from there. The whole land will be a burning waste of salt and sulfur. Nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It'll be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah,
Adama and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in fierce anger. All the nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to the land? Why this fierce, burning anger? And the answer will be, it is because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. God had promised his people, if they didn't live his way, his fierce, burning anger would come up against them. Adama and Zeboim were places that are mentioned in verse 8 of Hosea 11. They're places that were completely destroyed along with Sodom and Gomorrah. God promised his people if they didn't live his way, he would completely destroy them. But here, in verse 8, God is conflicted. His heart is changed within him. His heart is overturned. His compassion is aroused. He can't fully destroy his people like Adama and Zeboim. He will not carry out his fierce anger. Not all of the people will be destroyed. A small group will remain. A remnant will remain. Pick up with me from verse 9. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. Now, to be clear, God's judgment is still going to come up against his people. But he won't fully wipe them out. A group will survive. A remnant will survive. And why is that the case? Well, it's the case because God is not a man. He is the Holy One among them. Now, holy means set apart or different. And sometimes it can be a reference to us being sinful and God being different to that. But here I think it's more saying, given the way that Israel have behaved, like an unfaithful wife with many lovers, like a disobedient son, a normal human would certainly bring punishment on God's Old Testament people. But God, he's not a man. He is holy. He is different. And so his people will not get what they deserve. In fact, in verses 10 and 11, the Lord says he will call for his people and they will come back into relationship with him. Let me read to you from there, verses 10 and 11. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt, trembling like sparrows, from Assyria, fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. The Lord is going to gather up his people. He will roar like a lion and the people will start coming back to him. And the Lord will settle them in their homes again. Now, this is kind of confusing. This might be fulfilled in God's Old Testament people coming back into the land after exile. Although I think it's only the southern kingdom that come back into the land, not the northern kingdom. This is more fulfilled when Jesus dies and rises again and the gospel starts to go out to all nations, to the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. But ultimately it's fulfilled when those who trust in Jesus are gathered around the throne in the new heavens and earth forever in perfection. The Lord is a loving Father. And he is conflicted. He's conflicted about his punishment on his people. Now, I'm sure that recently on the news, you saw those terrible stabbings in Bondi. It was full on. And whenever I see something like that on the news, I always wonder how the parents and the family of the murderer are feeling. You've got to imagine they feel terrible. I actually saw an article on the ABC News app about the murderer's father. He was saying, we hold no grudges against a female police officer who shot their son. She was just doing her job. But then, and you can imagine he's got like tears in his eyes at this point, he said, "But how can I say that? He is my son." This man was very understandably conflicted. He knew it was right for the policewoman to shoot his son in the shopping centre. But he was conflicted because he loves his son. Well, friends, God is conflicted. He knows he needs to punish his people, his son, but he doesn't want to destroy his people. He doesn't want to give them what they deserve. The challenge is, God is holy and righteous, and so sin must be punished. But he won't punish his people. Instead, he will punish himself. He will punish his son. Now, Israel, they do go into exile in Assyria. And maybe they come back, but they probably don't. But God's Old Testament people don't really return to being back in relationship with God until Jesus comes into the world. Now remember, God is holy and different, so he won't give his people what they deserve. But he still needs to punish sin. He's still holy and righteous. And so the solution is, God will punish himself. Because he is different, because he has great love for his people, Jesus will die on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It says this in 1 John 4, verse 10. "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That means he covers over our sin, but it also means that Jesus' death takes God's wrath for us. It turns God's wrath aside. Even though all of us have been like Israel, an unfaithful lover with many lovers, a disobedient son, if we trust in Jesus, we can have confidence to stand before God on that final day, because Jesus takes the punishment that we all deserve. And that is wonderful, comforting news. Well, maybe you are older, and maybe the end of life is closer for you. Or maybe you're younger, but you have a terrible diagnosis. Maybe you can hear the roar of the Lord calling you home. Friends, if that is you, and you trust in the Lord Jesus, no matter what you've done in this life, you will be able to stand before your King and Maker with complete confidence, because Jesus took your punishment upon himself. And I really hope that you can find peace and comfort in that. Now, if you've lost that peace and comfort, can I encourage you to have a chat with me, or have a chat with any of the elders, have a chat with Phil or John or Fricky or Tim. We would love to remind you of what Jesus' death on the cross does for you. Well, maybe you're here this morning and your trust is not in the Lord Jesus. Maybe you can hear the roar of the lion calling you home. Well, please keep thinking about Jesus, because if you don't trust in Jesus, you cannot stand before your Maker with any confidence. And you can't have confidence that you might do enough good works. You can't have confidence in the good outweighing the bad. And you can't even say, "Look, I didn't know. We've just been talking about it." You do know. Please keep thinking about where you stand before God. Listen to the roar. Friends, the God of the Bible, he is like no other. I hope you can see that this morning. I hope you can see how good and extremely loving he is. He is not like us. He is holy. And so instead of punishing us, he punishes himself in the person of his son. And I really hope that you are moved by that. And you want to love and serve Jesus and live for him in response to that. And perhaps there's a sense that the Lord, the lion, can roar out of us as well. As we live lives in this world that are different to others, As we speak about Jesus with our friends and family, our work colleagues, our neighbours, the other soccer mums and dads, the other hockey mums and dads, the other netball mums and dads, through us, maybe they can hear the roar of the lion and come back into relationship with their Creator, trust in Jesus, be restored to Him, so that they can stand before their Creator with absolute confidence. Well, friends, let's pray to our great God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this beautiful part of it. Thank you that you are not like a man. Thank you that you are holy, you are different to us. And so you don't give us what we deserve. Instead, you punish yourself in the person of Jesus. Father, help us to marvel at that. Father, help us to trust in that. And Father, help us to enjoy the peace and comfort and confidence that comes from trusting in your Son. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.